My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot what I'm fighting for. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never find the light you lost inside, that you could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. Oh, when the road gets rough, just look up above, you will find God in the stars. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never find the light you lost inside, that you could find with Christ. Been running in the dark, just trying to heal your scars. Tried everything but turned to God. 'Cause it all starts with you. If you wanna break through, you're gonna need God to find your truth. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never find the light you lost inside, that you could find with Christ. If you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And it is Thursday, April 4th in the year 2024. And I'm actually in Idaho today. Bear with me a little bit this morning. I think it's going to go okay, but I've got an entire new mobile podcasting setup that I've taken with me on this trip. And there may be once in a while a few technical glitches. It's a very different way of doing what I've done in the past, basically taking it all to a digital interface with a small audio controller, and it has tremendously changed the amount of gear that I have to carry, which is super nice. And it seems to be working out great, so I'm pretty happy right now. And hopefully that will remain. So it just takes a, when you do this for 2,800 episodes, when you suddenly change a pattern, it takes a little bit getting used to a few things. So anyway, I think we'll be all right. Patriots, before we begin this morning, couple things really important, and it's one of those is the absolute necessity to understand that they're trying to collapse an economy right now, and that type of collapse is vicious. They're going to try to push everybody to a CBDC of some form. That's now 12 to 18 months out. They have continued to run up the debt, as we'll hear in a little bit from a piece from Marjorie Taylor Greene, projected in 10 years as a $54 trillion debt. You're trying to bankrupt and enslave everybody and keep all your paper currency devalued so you have nothing for retirement. That's why you need the folks at Birch Gold. Just type in the number 989898 and to that number send the words BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and they will send you a packet of information on using precious metals for your IRA and 401k. Read through it and give them a call. Precious metals is the answer here in this time to back up your investments. Precious metals is critical in holding a long-term value, and it gives substance to what you have in the paper currencies, which are really just digital numbers in your retirement accounts. And if you have an existing 401k or IRA, they'll transfer it over to a precious metals backed IRA at no cost to you. So again, type BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and text it to 989898. Again, that's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and text it to 989898. Now, one other thing before we get going, and that is also food. Food is a critical system right now, and they are doing everything they can to crush that. So you need to be prepared. And that's where we have My Patriot Supply. All you have to do is go to preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com. There you will find the 3-month emergency food kits and many other offerings from My Patriot Supply. Great deals for Bards Nation. Critical time to be stocking up on the essentials that you need. These food packets literally are sealed in 4-layer bags. They have a 25-year shelf life. Nothing to worry about. It's literally a stock and forget type item until you need it, and then you're going to be glad you have it. You're setting up an insurance policy for your family. So head on over to preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com. Order by 3 p.m. and get same-day free shipping, and you'll be very happy you did. Get one for each member of the family. It's a fantastic insurance for all that we have ahead, which is so unknown. So there you go. Pretty easy. Lots in the news today, but a couple things I want to focus in on, and one of them is a report that came out regarding the upcoming deaths, which is from the shot, and it's pretty damning in the overall sense of things. This report is suggesting that we are going to be seeing mass die-offs here very soon. Now, we've heard this before, and we know that some of this is can be a bit of an exaggeration on many of these items, and that's okay. I mean, that's what it is. But what's interesting is as we dig into this, we start to discover that there may be a lot more substance to this than we originally thought. Now, what I did, and which would be smart since I'm not a medical expert, but we do have somebody here who has an immense amount of medical experience, and that's Nikki. She used to be an RN. So what I did is I had her go through some of these claims, and this is the claims by Geert Vanden Bosch, and he's been all over the place. And I'm just going to kind of read you some of the things Nikki has assessed from this. Basically, that there is the things that he's saying is that the people that are multi-vaxxed are approaching a critical window where their die-offs are going to become very prevalent. And this goes back to things Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said some time ago, right when COVID first came out, and she said that people wouldn't last past 10 years. Well, we're now into year 3 of the full-scale vax. Now, he doesn't like to give a timeline. He's hesitant to that, but he does say it's imminent, sooner than further out. He thinks that this is Nikki's assessment. She's done a really deep research on all of this. He thinks that it will be very soon, but didn't want to give a time frame, just that he's certain based on science that hasn't been proven otherwise that indeed it will happen. Not if, but when. He's done hearings before the WHO and the CDC, which of course they really don't care. And so I asked her, I said, does it look like it's multi-jab? Are the ones that have the multi-jab are the highest risk? And she says, I do think so. The more jabs along with other health issues, most at risk being elderly, then probably diabetics, heart disease, then vascular. If they are sedentary or not active, then that makes it even worse. 5G activates the flu-like symptoms, which of course we know that. Basically, she says it's a perfect storm, so to speak. The last time this massive wave of death toll hit was likely when they eradicated the native tribes. Now, the question is why? I mean, obviously, they keep telling us that there's a population issue here, which we know is not true. All you have to do is drive across country, and there's plenty of land on this earth for people. That isn't the problem. Someone just asked in chat, wasn't there a five-year marker in the jab? That is very possible. I think that gets into Todd Callender's work, and Doc Pete Chambers is part of that as well. I can't speak to that officially, but I know that there is supposed to be some embedded I'm hesitant to say viral because I'm not sure where we are with that science, but essentially some virals built into this nano technology that's in there that, according to Todd Callender, with a three pulse frequency of a certain megahertz, they can be released within the body. And with that change, or it could provoke a response that in many ways would look like Malmberg. I know that's part of his study. The other thing that's interesting is it does alter the DNA. And so it's really, as we get into this, we look not just at humans, but what it's doing to animals, it's doing the same thing. There's a piece that I wanted to play for you. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, I can't get the thing to load on my laptop, though it's on my phone. And essentially, and I'll try to get it to where maybe I can play it tonight, or I'll play it next week sometime. But it's a guy that goes through the list of everybody that was in charge of this entire operation. And every one of them is dual citizenship with Israel. What it is appearing that is probably more real is that they are trying at an extreme rate to eradicate. They are trying very hard to eradicate pretty much the descendants of Abraham. And I think that is probably more on par with what we're seeing, especially as we come in with the remembering that we are, according to this Zionist elite, we are Goyim, and they're heading into this mass slaughter of heifers, whatever that means, other than a bloody mess. And so it's a real mess. Now, we know that the injection is causing turbo cancers. In fact, if you go to WikiLeaks, or actually Wikipedia, not WikiLeaks, Wikipedia, the last time I checked, they were saying that turbo cancers was a conspiracy theory. So you know who owns that. CIA, basically, the agency runs a lot of that concept to kind of keep people framed. And they think they're doing open research, but you're actually just getting shaped the way they want you to be shaped. That's not unexpected, I think, for everybody in this audience, that we're heading into another point of mass die-off. It does frame things a little differently, because the die-off that he's talking about is one that we originally talked about when this shot first came out. And it looks very much like the need to remake the entire society. That sounds a whole lot like the Great Reset. It also sounds like the Great Replacement Strategy, which is currently in place with the illegal aliens coming across the border. What I do know is that this is all coming to a major cataclysmic head of some fashion or another that's unavoidable. And pretty much the world as we know it is not going to continue the way we know it, and that we can be pretty assured of. Now, this is interesting. If you haven't heard this, this comes from actually Chief Nerd on X. And this states bandages from some of the most well-reputed brands, including Band-Aid and Cure-Aid, contain dangerous levels of forever chemicals, a shock report shows. Testing by a leading watchdog found the chemical fluorine in over two dozen different bandages that can be found in millions of medicine cabinets across the country. Dr. Linda Birnbaum, a toxicologist and former head of National Toxicology Program, who co-led the lab testing, said the fact that risky chemicals come in direct contact with open wounds was troubling. PFAS chemicals, which are they are the forever chemicals, can easily enter the bloodstream after a person drinks water and eats food, or eats food laced with them. Once in the bloodstream, PFAS can lodge themselves within healthy tissue, where it can begin to damage the immune system, the liver, kidneys, and other organs. Another shock report that they're trying to kill us. I know you're all stunned this morning, sitting here saying, oh my gosh, no. Can't possibly be that the cabal is trying to once again exterminate us from another angle. But yes, it's true. Didn't mean to burst your bubble this morning, but they don't like you, and they don't love us. And if you think that they're going to give you a warm and fuzzy, I hate to tell you, but that ain't going to happen. Not a chance. Obviously, the big event coming up is April 8th, and that's what I'm on the road for, heading over into the storm, so to speak. heading into states that are declaring emergency action. Indiana just declared a state of emergency because of all the people fluctuating in. Okay, all sounds good. I just want to play a nice piece here, just kind of puts things in perspective. The April 8 event we're going to talk about here in a moment, but let's start with this.
God doesn't want you to fear the April 8th eclipse. Send this video to a couple people. Isaiah 8:12 says, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. As humans, it's so easy to believe the rumors and the things that people are sharing, the fearful things, and we can get caught up and consumed. We can worry about this thing on April 8th. Is it the end of the world? Is something terrible going to happen? But God instructs us all throughout Scripture not to fear, but here to not get caught up in what other people are worried about and calling conspiracies, but to fear Him alone, to trust Him and to have reverence for Him. We need to think about Him so much more than we're thinking about the concerns or the potential bad things that could happen. I heard similar thoughts from my brother John Bevere recently about April 8th, and he encouraged us with this scripture, and so I wanted to encourage you as well.
Yeah, let's not worry about April 8th. It's not a big deal. I shouldn't say that. It is a big deal. That is not true. But I mean, as far as the fear porn, just drop it. I mean, it's just not, it is what it is. We're in a world right now that's increasingly being shaped by the masters of the universe that want to enslave us more deeply than ever. They've built the AI systems behind the scenes. If you haven't heard, Israel used AI, artificial intelligence, to determine what 37,000 people they were going to kill. And they did it just coldly. They just literally put the data in, and whatever AI spit out, they went out and killed these people in Gaza. They covered it with an additional murdering of children and innocent children and elderly and women, mothers, families, because that was a good way to cover their tracks so that it didn't seem like it was so specific by an AI program. And most of these people weren't even what we consider high level. They had some association with Hamas. So I bring all that in because the world that they're going towards is a very draconian world. It's dark. It's evil. It's a world where if you don't comply in the social credit score, they arrest you or kill you. And no one says anything because everybody's a walking zombie. We're pretty close to that point right now, just so we're clear. So this event on April 8th, for them to be as spun up about it, wanting everybody to not look at the sky, be careful. They want to keep everybody head down. They want you to stay indoors. They want you to stock up on food, be afraid. That should tell you everything. And here's what I say about all of this. Let's say something fantastically big happens. Awesome. All I know is that we're at a revival. We're praying, and we're going to be raising up the nation, and we're going to be repenting for the nation and humbling ourselves before the throne. I can't think of a better place to be. Now, if you are going to go there, remember, we're having the revival in Ohio and in Texas parallel. I just talked to Pastor Rod Parker yesterday. They're getting a lot of people down there on the border as well. That's near Eagle Pass. All that information is online at bardsfest.com to register for the revivals. Obviously, you're not registering for the solar eclipse. That's God's thing. But registering for the revival, because we do have, we're trying to just get a tag on food and things like that. The Ohio event is coming together very nicely. We're starting both the events in Texas and in Ohio at 5 p.m. on Sunday evening, and we're going to have a nice day of welcome and prayer and worship. We're going to have a potluck Sunday night up in Ohio. I don't know if Rod's doing that. I have to check with him, but we're doing a potluck Sunday night. We're going to do testimonies on open mic testimonies. We're going to do more prayer and worship, and we're going to do some deliverance. And then on Sunday, we will, I'm getting my days wrong, on Monday, which is April 8th, we are going to start at 10 a.m., and we will begin through that day. We've got a whole bunch of great speakers, Pastor Debonese, Apostle Greg. We have Pastor Neil Peterson. We have a dude by the name of Scott Kesterson coming in. He's pretty good. And we're going to have the girls, Michelle and Leah. They're going to be there, and they're pretty fired up. And then we're going to have Abigail and little Leah, who we've had on the show before, and they're going to be fun to hear. And hopefully we'll have Pete Santilli. Now, I say that because I haven't confirmed this, but apparently his house was just raided by the FBI and his computers taken. And then apparently he was thrown in jail and then let out. So I don't know if he's going to be there or not. I haven't been able to get a hold of him. And so we will find out. But, you know, what can I say? That they have nothing better to do than to harass good patriots. You know that as well as I do. But that's, the event's going to be fantastic. We're going to run all day. We're going to have, we're providing a dinner. We'll have a food truck there. If you were at Bard's Fest, the same folks that were at Bard's Fest for the food truck, which is, what's the name of it? It's Deep Fried or something. It's really cool. They have a neat name. They're coming up from Kentucky to be our food truck vendor there. They're a wonderful family. And just the way I speak to that, they are such an amazing family. They had just started that food truck business. And when we got into Bard's Fest in Kentucky, which I've told this story before, but it's important to remind you about who these folks are. I was alerted that we had this kids program. We had nothing planned to feed the kids other than the normal meals. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And this was first day because we were just going to have dinner. And then even through the event, we just didn't have something separate for the kids, and kids get hungry. So I went over to the food truck and I asked them, I said, can I set up a tab with you and just have you make whenever the kids want, whoever they are, just provide food for the kids? And she said, of course. So I remember there was one particular family. I remember they were standing there and their little girl wanted something. And I could tell that it was a financial bind. And I walked up to them. I said, you know, this is on us. And they just couldn't believe it. And it was wonderful. And the food truck was great there. And then I got to the end and I went to pay for it. And this was Sunday morning. I said, have you got the tally? She says, why does she not worry about it? I said, what do you mean not worry about it? I said, that was a lot of kids. And she goes, no. She said, you all have blessed us more than we could possibly imagine. You prayed on us. You blessed us. It's just amazing. They're a great family. So they are going to be there at the Ohio event. So when you see them there, bless them, pray for them, do all sorts of good things. They're a wonderful family. Excited to have them up. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, you know, I'm kind of mixed on Marjorie Taylor Greene. I really am. She's at one point she decided it was a good idea to become the sleeping fellow of Kevin McCarthy. But I'm going to tell you, this piece with Tucker, I'm going to give her a major hat tip because she knocks this one out of the park, literally. And I don't know, I'll just play it. It's a great perspective on where we are in Congress, what's going on, and how her bottom line is and how we solve this. Here we go.
Everyone that I've talked to is this is happening next week. He's going to suspend the rules. He's going to bring it to the floor for a vote. Every Democrat is going to wear their blue and yellow lapel pins and flags and scarves, and they're going to vote to fund that. And we're going to have, you know, a percentage of our Republicans that actually support it will vote to fund it. And it will pass in the House. It will pass in the House. It'll go to the Senate. Mitch McConnell will line up his little Senate soldiers and they will vote for it. And Chuck Schumer can't wait to pass it because Ukraine is everything, right? Ukraine is everything. Murdering an entire generation of Ukrainian men is the most important thing that they can do. And yeah, they'll pass it. And then Joe Biden will sign it into law.
Yeah. Shutting down churches. Well, that's their agenda anyway. Is there any way to stop it, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, Tucker, and I can't make this point loud enough. The American people can stop our government. They can. When they decide that it's important enough for them, when they realize that within 10 years, CBO has projected that we will be approximately $55 trillion in debt at the current spending levels. If everything stays the same, we're going to be $55 trillion in debt in 10 years. We are going to implode. If the American people finally decide they're tired of illegal aliens murdering them, they're tired of illegal aliens squatting in their homes, they're tired of illegal alien men raping children and raping women. Yeah, if the American people finally have had enough and say no, they can stop it. And let me tell you, Tucker, if the American people say enough of sending money to foreign wars and foreign aid and funding the murder of people in foreign countries and in countries we can't even find on a map most of the time. Yeah, if the American people say they've had enough of that and they're able to engage in this and stop spending all their money on all their hobbies and being disconnected and refusing to look at the serious situation that we're living in right now. Oh, yeah. The American people have far more power than I have, and I'm a member of Congress. If they literally hold our government accountable and stand up and say, enough of this, and I think they should throw out every single elected official. I'm not kidding. Every one of us should be thrown out. This government is a failure to the American people, and I'm angry about it, Tucker, because I'm a mom. My adult children and that generation and your kids and our grandchildren at the current rate right now, they'll never be able to afford a home. They have no strong financial future, and they are going to be living and raising their own children in a country whose government has screwed all of us over. And that is the flat out honest truth, Tucker. And so, yeah, the American people could stop it if they really want to.
I hope that lion roars. I will say, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of the state of Georgia, thank you so much for that. Good luck.
Solid piece by Marjorie, and it's dead on. We understand pretty clearly what's gone on here in Congress. And increasingly, when we look at a country that's been completely hijacked by a dual citizenship with Israel, and that is one of the major issues here. We are in control by foreign governments. We are being occupied and run, and we really don't have anything anymore to call our nation other than the people. And that's the biggest problem right now, is we, the people, are so apprehensive to step up and do the right thing, that we are constantly in the fight to try to figure out what to do with ourselves, because we're fighting ourselves and we're constantly in the wrong fight. We should be in the fight for the nation. And that means setting aside the things that we are wanting for ourselves or trying to get back to normal, which we know won't happen. And, you know, again, I say this many times. These are statements that I make in broad scope. The interesting thing is, many times I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, because Bars Nation happens to be a very unique body of people that has been come together and is very active. But these points are necessary to highlight, because part of our mission is also to get out in front of people to try to wake them up and draw attention to their ways. And I don't know that that's even reasonable at certain points, but another major part of our project is to, or our process here, is to understand the threat so that we can be better prepared to build back God's way and not build back better their way. That's ultimately some of the biggest challenges ahead. And that means back to getting our hands back to the earth, getting ourselves growing our own food, raising our own animals, getting away from a lot of this digital tech, because it is an absolute nightmare. Now, if you haven't heard, one of the things that is going on, which is literally insane, is squatters' rights. And this is prevalent in New York. It's probably to a lesser degree in states like Oregon, especially down in my southern county, but it's definitely big in California and New York. And what they have done is they've empowered the individual so much that no longer they overpower the ownership rights of property. Take a listen to these stories here.
Word seems to have gotten out among illegal immigrants that they can legally, in many parts of the United States, seize the homes of Americans using squatter rights laws. And in a recent case in New York, a group of alleged illegal immigrants arrested by police, they were found with drugs, firearms, and a 7-year-old child in a residence that they had seized from somebody. Those seem like pretty serious crimes to me, but apparently all but two of those individuals were released without bail. And notably, the individuals were also suspects in a series of robberies around the area. That being said, crime among illegal immigrants is heavily being allowed through Democrat open border laws, and this includes, you know, sanctuary city laws that make it so that ICE cannot work with police. So, you know, if illegal aliens commit crimes, normally they get deported. Normally the police hand them off to ICE and ICE deports them. Democrat states, for the most part, have made it so they can no longer do that. And what makes it happen now is because when they commit crimes, there's very little in place to actually hold them accountable, because, again, they're not on the books. And if they let them out on bail, there's no guarantee they're going to show up for court. And so to an extent, it's making it just a wide open door for them to violate our laws unless they can indefinitely incarcerate them.
Yeah, exactly. That was Epic TV, by the way. We are in a situation where everything around us is pretty clear that things are falling apart, and they still point us to the vectors of Ukraine and Russia and China and the Gaza Strip, where it's necessary apparently to annihilate a large percentage of the population. We really can't speak anymore about foreign issues when we're looking within our own borders and seeing who's really at hand. I mean, if anybody that believes for a half a second that what you're looking at here is an attempt by China to take us down, one needs to just take a breath, because reality is that this has never been really China as much as this has been the entire concept of tearing us down from the inside. And they're doing a very effective job at it, by the way. One that is destructive on many levels, and one that is continuing to eat us apart from within, which is unfortunate, but true. I'm going to try to play this piece here. This is from True News. If I can get it to play, I think it's definitely worth hearing.
I'm going to tell you something right now. These pulpit prostitutes in America that are gleeful over the death of children, absolutely gleeful, hyperventilating.
Oh, they've been waiting for this for a long time.
For years, decades, they've waited for this to happen.
They've been looking, I get to scratch that off my chart.
Yep. I'm going to tell you, the judgment of God is on them right now. Doc, I believe death angels are marking these Christian Zionists. I believe death angels are marking them. Judgment's on them. You can't do this stuff under God's name.
No, you can't.
You might want to do it under your name, but when you use God's name and you justify mass slaughter of children, what did Jesus say about the children? Let the children come unto me. What did he say about people that would harm a child? Better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be dropped into the sea. You hear that, John Hagee? You hear that, John Hagee? You hear that, David Jeremiah? You hear that, Pastor Hibb? You hear it? Jesus said it'd be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you dropped into the sea than to bring harm to a child. And you pulpit prostitutes are calling for the death of Palestinian children. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I denounce you in the name of the Lord. I pray, Almighty God, shut your mouth. I pray he shuts down your churches. I pray that your lips are sealed and you can't speak again.
Amen. 100% agree with that. And we need more of that. We have to be calling out the pulpit for its wrongs. And the blind obedience to Israel right now is leading our country into the partnership of walk into hell. We've bound ourselves at the hip with them. Our Congress is owned by them. Our media is owned by them. The institutions of medical tyranny are owned by them. And it's all in benefiting no one other than those few elite that are trying to seize control of the world. We have been the greatest threat to the world because we have individual rights. Our rights were given to us by God, and they see that as a front to their superiority and their calling of being the chosen race. And because of that, they've declared war on this country, which leads to that bigger piece of what we are as a nation. We are a melting pot. Obviously, we were built on the foundations of Christian values, Christian ethics. Our founding fathers were devout in their beliefs. They weren't religious in their beliefs. As a matter of fact, the things that they fought against was the spirit of religion, but not in the love in Christ. That also means that as a country, we opened our arms to accepting others to come here that were being religiously persecuted or just wanted the right to be religiously free. Not to take us down from within, but to embrace ourselves truly as that city on the hill. to where so many could come and coexist. This was really the vision of our founding fathers, as we were the true New Jerusalem. That's long forgotten, because today in the obsession of Israel, which has only been around since the 1940s, and it was a Rockefeller or Rothschild's purchase, the idea of worshiping Israel has become a blind obedience to a government and a state, none of which was God. And the sad part is that we have walked ourselves lockstep from the pulpit forward. We have come to a place where, as a nation, we are losing our purpose and intent of what not only what we were supposed to be, but we are also being pushing ourselves into a depths of accountability that, at the very least, will be difficult to overcome, other than for the entire nation to submit itself to the wrath of God or seek repentance in the name of God. These are big issues at hand for us, and I can't say that it's going to be an easy walk for the nation. I want to remind everybody, I've read this, is one of my favorite quotes of all time, and this is Charles Finney. There was a second great awakening in the 1800s, if you know this, and this was, and he led a lot of that, was Charles Finney. So he writes, "Christ crucified for the sins of the world is the Christ that people need. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate or worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let us not ignore this fact, my dear brethren, but let us lay to it to heart and be thoroughly awake to our responsibility in respect to the morals of this nation." The great thing about that quote is it not only is timeless, but it's equally a responsibility to speak that into our existing pulpits. Pulpits are accountable. They don't get to just sit on the side, say we're not engaged in society, or somehow this little exterior little existence called Christianity. You come in, you do your thing on Sunday or maybe Wednesday night, throw some trinkets in the offering plate, do some singing, do a little bit of worship. Pastor tells you what you need to think for the week, and you go on. That's not the church of God. We need a church that's active in the hearts of people, and it means it's engaged in the world, because that is we are in this world as a principal, as a representative, ambassador, and children of the Most High. So we can't do that when we're sitting in dead stone walls. So it's important to literally press our pulpits and speak to our pastors and speak to our congregations. The power that exists within there, if people awaken, is fantastic. Now, am I optimistic that it'll happen? No. I don't think it's going to happen on a mass scale yet, unless or until such a time that God's hand intervenes and people are left with no choice but to take a knee and bow before the King. Every knee will bow. What I do want to caution on, though, and I think this is something I've noticed increasingly, we are in a rapidly accelerating moment in time with two conflicting forces clashing. We have one, is the great spiritual awakening, which is not insignificant, by the way, on a global level, as people awaken to the greater horrors of what this world is doing. Governments are increasingly becoming isolated. Therefore, when people become isolated, they become more dictatorial. And then we have the other side of this, which is the clash of great evil, which seems to move more quickly and as aggressively as possible to try to subdue that which they see as theirs to enslave, which is God's children. Now, I say all this because there's an increasing numbers of narratives that get about terminal timelines. And these timelines are where they literally are telling people over and over that it is time, we've arrived at the end, that there is a moment now when Christ is definitely coming and that all the signs are there. Only God knows the day and the hour. And that time could be, I don't have any doubt that we're at a critical moment in humanity with a massive change in age. I think that there is also no doubt in my mind that this will come out well in the end for humanity. But I also know that we're a long ways from having the level of awakening needed for people to stand up against the government and to do and to take in their arms to, and their own responsibilities to say, we need to change this world and turn to God. Why I say that is, don't get wrapped up in the timelines. Don't get wrapped up in, is it going to be the solar event? Is it going to be when Trump gets to power? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? There's a lot of things out there that could be. What I know is our mission never changes. Even if we have a sudden great awakening and people come to the realization that we are all dealing with a massive pedophile, evil cabal, multi-generational bloodlines that want to kill the rest of the world, even at that moment, our work only gets more because there's so many people that are going to be lost and looking for solutions. And it's not going to come from facts. It's going to come from the relationship in Christ. That means that whether we are in a tyranny or whether we're in a representative republic or whether we get some dysfunctional democracy or we get a king, it matters not. Our mission never changes because our eyes are on Christ and our eyes are on the cross. It gets back to why we don't worship presidents, why we don't worship candidates, why we don't worship men. And so with all of this time right now, especially with the April 8 event, there is a tremendous amount of pressure to want to have people look at end of times theory. And these end of times theories are not insignificant by any means in the magnitude of what they can do to people's minds. And they consume people to such a degree that I think that after a time, people really forget a lot of, I would say, our greater purpose of why we are here and what we need to be looking at. I'm going to play this piece. This is 8 minutes. It's a really powerful piece along these lines. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name, and I apologize. Oh, it's Marmari Emmanuel. And he is a bishop, and it's a really powerful perspective on where we are and on that taking a reasonable look at how God's hand is moving. Here we go.
As we continue to cover the war between Israel and Hamas, we're going to take a couple of minutes to look more closely at the humanitarian crisis inside Gaza. This is video showing the urgent scramble for food in northern Gaza. This is happening near where more than 100 Palestinians were reportedly killed last week in a chaotic incident involving a stampede and Israeli troops. People in this crowd say they waited for hours yesterday in hopes of getting something to take back to their families. And we've been hearing these warnings about starvation and famine in Gaza almost every day now. The latest coming in from the World Health Organization that children are now dying of starvation.
I've been to the Gaza Strip. In one of our pilgrims that we go to Israel every time. I've been to one of them, to one of those pilgrims to the Gaza Strip. The bus driver, sorry, I'll have to stop. I have to mention this. Look, the Lord loves everyone, okay? Humanity are very harsh. The bus driver was a Palestinian Muslim. With all love and respect, I'm saying this. The bus driver was a Palestinian Muslim. The tour guide was a Palestinian Muslim from the Gaza Strip. But he hasn't been to the Gaza Strip for the past 5 years at the time. When I said to them, we are going tomorrow because there was a holy site which happens to be in the Gaza Strip. Which holy site was it? You read that in the Gospel of Luke, where those two men were walking back to their village and the Lord catches up to them. And he says, what are you guys talking about? He said, looks like you're a stranger. You don't know. It is Jesus, this mighty prophet. Look what happened to him. He said, I am the Messiah, I'm this, but he was crucified, he died, and they buried him. So we're going back to our own life once again. Looks like it was all a lie. So as they come into the house, the sun is going down. The Lord says, I'm going further. They begged him to stay with them. That house is turned into a church now. It is in the Gaza Strip. Emmaus. The place is called Emmaus. So I said to them, we're going to the Gaza Strip. They said, Bishop, please, this is, they'll kill us. I said, I don't care. We have the Lord Jesus. Whatever the Lord wants, but I'm going. I said, Bishop, please, we're Palestinian Muslims. We're scared to go in there. And by the way, it is surrounded by a 15-meter concrete wall. And there is a gate and there is the Israeli army here. The moment we go through the gate, we are on our own. No one will come to our rescue if something goes wrong. No one. No Israeli, no Australian, nothing. We were on our own. Till now, I think about it, I say, if it was up to me, just me, I would have gone. I don't care. But I had 55 people in the bus. But I took the risk in Jesus' mighty name. So we went. We crossed the gate. The gate is shut. We're in Gaza Strip. Hamas is there. I don't know if they knew we were there. Maybe they would have, we would have been gone with the wind. Anyway, I just want to say this. We drove. The bus driver lost his way because he hasn't been there for a long time. He lost his way. We came to a dead-end road. And I saw the houses on the side of the road all full of holes because of the wars throughout all those years. The houses were, you can't live in them, but it was full of people living in them. Destroyed the houses. As he was thinking how to go back and navigate again, I saw maybe a three-year-old girl came out of one of the houses. She stood in front of the door. I'm looking from inside the bus onto that girl. I waved at her. She waved at me. I said, good. I said, bus driver, open the door. He said, Bishop, it was scary enough to come in here. You want me to let you out of the bus? He said, you know what will happen once you leave this bus? This whole town will come running at you. I will close the door and I'll drive away. I can't help you. I said, open the door. He said, I'm not taking the risk. I said, we pay you. You do as I say. Open the door. I want to say hello to this little girl. Palestinian Muslim girl, my sweetheart. Yeah? I don't care. This is a little angel. Stop killing little angels. He opened the door eventually. I came out of the bus. I said, close the door. He closed it. I called her. I spoke in Arabic. I said, Habibi Ta'ahan. Come here, my darling, my sweetheart. She came. I had an Australian flag, just a piece of stick and a little plastic flag on top of it. I didn't have anything. I gave her that. It was as if I gave her the whole world. The first time ever someone giving a gift to this little angel. She was overwhelmed with joy. She didn't know what to do. She started jumping. And then her grandma came out. And as I was talking to them, I turned around. The whole town is running at me. In the hundreds, men. And the way they were running, I said, Allahu Akbar. I said, my name is Osama bin Laden. I'll blow you up. The bus driver, Bishop, get in the bus. I said, go, brother. I'm not moving. Let them chop me. What are they going to do? I don't care. I'm staying here. They came in a blink of an eye running. I'm literally running fast like a gazelle. They surrounded the whole bus and me in the hundreds. And they started saying, nobody asks about us. Nobody cares about us. Nobody knows how we live. We are struggling here. Please, please help us. I went into the bus, collected some money, gave whatever we could give. And then they started saying, God bless you. God be with you. Thank you so much for coming and visiting us. Please tell everyone the way we live in here. We are starving to death. And they were. There is a lot of Palestinians got nothing to do with what is happening here. They just want to live in peace. And I'm sure on the Israeli side as well. I'm sure. Because I've met Jewish people, absolutely beautiful. Very respectful. Beautiful people. Absolutely beautiful. From both sides, absolutely beautiful. I pray they come both to the Lord Jesus. They will find their comfort, their peace at last.
And let's pray on that. It's the one thing. I've seen this piece a couple of times and it breaks me up every time. If there's one thing when you see the eyes of children that have so little in their lives, and you give them something small that transforms them to such a level. We saw that a lot in Afghanistan. And the children that were just ravaged by years and years of war, and the littlest of things would bring a spark to them, and like something you've never seen. We need to just pray people come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for today. We're very humbled this morning in this reflection of all the tragedy that's going on in the Middle East. And worse, it's the taking of sides and fanning the flames of war as if killing children is justifiable in any form. Father, we just ask that these people that are here now just start coming to Jesus. And equally, we just ask for the judgment of heaven to descend upon them, because this is a destruction of the little ones that is unprecedented. It's the corruption of the little ones in Israel, believing that they have a rightful place to destroy an entire civilization, taking on the reins of the bloodthirsty leadership that's there in their country. And it's the victims of that mentality, the little ones in Palestine, in Gaza, that have been killed, arms removed, legs removed, maimed in such degrees to create generations of legacy and hate. Father, just with our tears and truth in our heart, we just pray that they can find their way to Jesus. And if our hand is to be part of that, then guide us. But it's time that we put an end to this insanity. We're feeling this tremendous awakening in the world as we start to reveal those who are behind all of this. And sadly, they've hidden behind religious monikers to try in some way or another to implicate you in this horror show that we're witnessing. And we know that that is of absolute blasphemy. So Father God, we're just praying now for the courts of heaven and the judgment and wrath of Christ to come upon this land, to stop the horrors against the little ones, and to put an end to this evil, and to in this moment then as well to have a great shaking, to wake those up that are thinking that somehow this is not only okay, but normal. Forgive us, Father, for a nation, for what we've allowed. We pray a repentance for our nation this morning, for what we continue to see funded and participant of. And we pray for the little ones, for their safety, for their hearts, for the love and innocence that they bring to this world that truly shapes the fabric of whom we are. Thank you, Father. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We so underrate who we are as a people, because what we forget is the children create the fabric of this world. Their innocence is what creates the innocence and love of this world. They're the foundation of it. And they, as we destroy them, we destroy ourselves. It's a pretty sad statement. Well, Patriots, I'll be on the road today. We'll have a show again tonight. The only thing barring is connectivity, because I'll be driving. I'll be doing the show from the Jeep. But otherwise, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you this evening for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.